Hey, a lot of you have been asking me, Ron, I want to understand how does this workflow services and Windows Server App Fabric, what is that like in the real world? Is that something I would really use? So let me give you a scenario that I think a lot of you would use. And then, in fact, it's a very common scenario where you have a business process that requires some kind of human in the loop. So let's walk through the process first, and then I'll show you how I implemented it with Windows Workflow using a workflow service and deploy it and monitor it and troubleshoot it with Windows Server App Fabric. Okay? So let's get started. Here's the process we're going to show you. First of all, I have an applicant who applies for a job at Contoso. So they go to this web page, they fill in their details, and then they click submit. And when they do, the web app sends a message to a workflow service. The workflow service wakes up and it starts to manage this whole process of the job application. So first of all, it wants to persist the data to the HR database. So it takes all your resume data and saves it there. And then it does this under a distributed transaction. So when the transaction commits, the HR data is saved in that database. The workflow state itself is also persisted in a persistence database. This is like a checkpoint on the process in case anything goes wrong. Now, the next thing it does is it communicates with another service to kind of automatically screen this applicant. So it looks at their level of education and says whether or not they meet the requirements. If they do, then we get a human reviewer involved. And the way we do this is by sending an email to the human reviewer with a link and says, please click this and review this application. Once the human reviewer gets around to this, and who knows how long that will be, right? So we have a long-running process once we have a human involved. The human goes to the web app, clicks a button, hire or no hire, which sends a message back to our applicant service, which comes alive again. And then finally, it notifies the applicant of the outcome of the whole process. So that's our process. Now let's see how we implement it with Windows Workflow Foundation. All right, so here is my web application, and I have a workflow service here. You can see that this workflow service is kind of neatly divided into three main parts. One where we receive and save the application, the second where we screen the applicant, and the third where we notify them of the outcome. So let's drill into this a little bit. Here in the receive application, I'm using an activity called a transacted receive scope, which means that all the work that's done in this activity will be done under a transaction. So I'm going to receive a request from the web app. So this is really a web service, and I have an operation name called submit job application, which has some content. It's this variable called application request. So the first thing you notice here is this is how I create a web service with a workflow. I just say, send me one of these things. It's an application request. So let's look at what that is. We see in the variables that application request is of type submit job application request, which I actually have that over here in my contracts assembly. And you'll notice that it's just a class that I've marked up with data contract and data member. Those attributes are optional now, but if you want to use things like namespaces or is required, then you need to put them on there. So the first thing I want to do when I create a workflow service is kind of think about the shape of the message that I want someone to send me. This is a little bit different than the traditional WCF service where you would create kind of a method call. And so this is one way to do it. Now, if you want to make it look more like a WCF service, you can declare parameters and give them names and types and so forth, but I didn't do that here. Now, when we receive the message, we're going to enter this block where we'll be doing all this work in a transaction. And the first thing I want to do is save the job application to the database. So how do I do that? Well, in this case, what I did is I wrote a code activity to save the job application. And if we look here at a code activity, we'll see that I've declared a class which inherits from code activity of T. The T here is the type of the response. So I'm going to receive this, I'm going to save all the stuff in the database and return a new submit job application response. So this is exactly what I've done here is I get into using a little entity framework here. I go off and get the request from the context, add it to my entity framework object, save it to the database, and then I create a new response. And I use the application ID that I got from the database to send back to the caller. So now they know what their application is. All right, so now I'm back here in the workflow. Now we're going to send a response. But before we send a response, we need to let the workflow runtime know what key we want to associate with this workflow instance. Because it's going to save it to a database after this, and it needs to know when we recover this later what key we want to use. Workflow 4 uses content-based correlation as one option to do this. So let me show you how I set that up. Here on the response activity, I have a correlation initializer. Now, I've declared a correlation handle here called application ID handle. If I look at my correlation initializer, we see that when I look at the app ID handle, what I've got here is a lovely little bit of XPath that allows the workflow runtime to peek into the message and extract the primary key that we're going to associate with this workflow instance. Now, this is great. It's totally cool, except for one thing. I stink at XPath. I never can remember it in the namespace syntax and all this. I don't even know what that means. Look, I'm not great at this, and if you're great at it, you can type it. But if you're not great at it, here's the cool thing. I can just drop this list down. It shows me the content of the message that I'm sending back. And I can see there's the application ID handle right there. All I have to do is pick it, and it writes the XPath for me. So that's really useful. All right, so now we're sending a response. We tell the workflow runtime what the key is. When this whole thing finishes, transaction commits, both databases are updated, and everything is good. Now we come to the second phase where we're going to screen the applicant. Now the first thing we do is call this other activity that's going to screen them based on their level of education. This could be exposed as a workflow service, but because it's another activity, I can just leverage it right directly here inside my workflow. And then I want to make a decision because I want to know if they passed their education screening. So auto screen education actually accepts an argument called education passed here, or that's actually the result of this activity. So it will tell me if they passed education screening. If they did not pass, then we're going to just update the database to say we're not hiring them and send their notification. If they do pass, now this is where it gets interesting. Because now we need to send an email to request that a human get involved in this process. So we generate an HTML mail, and we're going to send it to a human. Now in this demo, I've configured it to just drop that into a folder. Then we just simply say, well, we're going to use another transactor receive scope to say when the human gets around and sends a message back to us, then we can do something else. What the workflow runtime does when this receive activity is scheduled, it's like this receive activity says, I've got some work to do, but I can't do it until I receive this message. So the workflow goes idle at that point. Now, when a workflow is idle, AppFabric detects this, and it will wait for a timeout. And the default timeout is 1 minute. So after 1 minute, AppFabric will say, hey, that workflow is just waiting for a message, but it's just sitting there not doing anything, so it unloads it from memory. Now, if I've got a whole farm of servers, maybe 5 or 10 servers that are waiting for messages, the message that comes back to this workflow could land on any of those servers, and it doesn't matter which one gets it. When the message is received in the farm, we will look at the message content, and once again, using correlation, we can see here that I've peeked into the message to pull out the app ID. We will peek into the persistent store and say, hey, is there a workflow instance in the persistent store that uses this key? We'll find it, we'll load it up into whatever server happened to receive the message, and we'll continue with the next operation, which is right down here. So what we're going to do is extract the higher variable from the message that we received. We'll update the database with whatever the human said, and we'll send a reply back to the web app to let it know that we did the processing. And then the last part is pretty simple. If we jump back up here, we see the last part is that we just notify the applicant. We send them an email with the outcome. Okay? So that's how we develop one of these things. Now let's think about what happens when we deploy this. Because there's some tricky things about deployment, right? Particularly in an environment like this, you notice things like this setting right here. Look at this setting. You see that? It has localhost port 62305. That's a setting from my dev environment. So while I'm developing and testing with the ASP.NET development server, of course I'm going to have URIs for endpoints like that, but that's not really what we want in our deployment environment when we deploy to production. So Visual Studio has this concept of config transforms, and so you can see here that I've got a web.debugconfig and a web.release.config. What this allows me to do is declare some rules that I want to be applied when I create a deployment. So for my release deployment, you can see here that I say, this is the URI I want to use in my production environment. And so just match when, based on the name of this binding here, and then replace that whole section with this thing. It's really cool because this allows me to make deployment kind of painless. Now, if I want to do a deployment, let's walk through that process. So I'm going to go in here to the package publish settings. And I can control basically everything about the deployment, whether I want databases and package a zip file and all this kind of stuff. Here I say this is the website I want to deploy it to. The IT person who deploys it gets the final say, right? So there's my settings. Now, I'm going to go in here and build a deployment package. Now, you notice I've selected release build here. And we see that we have indeed created a package, and there is the folder where my package is. And it has a command script that would allow me to deploy, like if I want to deploy to 10 servers, I'm not going to run the UI on 10 servers. I can set up the parameters and things in these XML files. There's instructions in the README text. And then I just run the command script to deploy it. Now I'm going to show you with the UI so you can see kind of what's going on. So let's copy that path. We'll come over here to IIS. And here's my website. So I'm going to deploy this application. So I'll select deploy, import. I'll pop in here my path to my package. And there it is. So we'll click open. And now it's telling me what it's going to do to my file system and server and whatnot. Okay, this is cool. So we'll click next. Again, I get the final say, like if I've got my IT hat on now, I could change the website or connection strings or whatever. So now we've imported the application. So there it is. Now there's a few more things I need to do to it, so let's do those. First thing I need to do is enable named pipes because the workflow management service communicates with your workflows over named pipes. So we need to enable that. So I'm going to put comma net.pipe. And then we need to manage the service configuration. And here I can control things like the monitoring level, so I could crank it up or down. Really nice for an IT person to be able to have a little UI. All this really does is change the settings in the web config. I can control the workflow persistence here, so I'm getting a little bit of warnings here. So let's come into the advanced tab. We're going to say we don't want to keep instances after they complete, and we're going to use the AppFabric persistence database. All right. I have control over the workflow host management and auto start, which is one of my favorite things because I think we've all noticed that sometimes the first time you send a message to a WCF service, there's a little delay while it sort of spins up an app domain and a host environment and loads assemblies and all that. If I set auto start, then the services will do all of that before the first request comes in, which makes the first one a lot faster. Okay, now we click OK here, and we're good to go. Now our service is up and ready to run. Let's fire in and just click Browse here, and we see our nice little UI from our web app. We notice we're running in localhost, not the development environment. So if I select here that Jane has a master's degree, she's going to apply for a job with Contoso. So she clicks apply, and now we get a nice little thank you message. So that was that first step where we went in, received the message, we saved Jane's data to the database, we stored her applicant info and got back an applicant ID, which in this case is 58. And now if we look in the mailbox folder here, there's the message that Jane, because of Jane, this message is sent to the HR person that needs to review the application. All right, so we click review, and we say, we got some information about Jane. Should we hire, not hire? I don't know, things are kind of rough right now. I think we should hire people. Okay, so let's hire Jane. So the web app now sends a message back to the workflow, which has been waiting with that human screening result. And so that's good. Now we're good for there. Let's look in the mailbox, and we'll see another mail message. This one is for Jane. And it says, hey, congratulations. You're going to get hired with $1 million signing bonus. Wow. I should work for Contoso. All right. So that's how the process works when everything is good. Now, let's take a look at what AppFabric tells us about that. So AppFabric has this cool thing called the dashboard. And if we look in here at the dashboard, we'll see that from the WCF point of view, there were two messages that completed successfully. Both were sent to Submit Applications AMLX, and both from the web app. First, when Jane applied, and then second, when the HR person clicked hire, then both of those are WCF messages. Now, also in the workflow instance history, we see that we've had one activation and one completion. And if we click here, we can look at our completed instance. We see when it started, how long it took, and it has 23 tracked events. So let's look at the tracked events. So if I flip over here, we'll see that every step in the workflow processing is recorded here using the terms that we had right out of our workflow. So there we see if the education screen passed and so forth, right? We get all the way down to where we notify the applicant of the outcome. Now that is pretty cool. Now what happens though if there's a problem? Well, let's induce a problem and see what happens. Okay, so I'm going to come here to the mailbox. Let's delete these guys. And let's rename this to mailbox 2 because we want to cause a problem just so we can see what happens. All right, so now let's go back and run our application loop again. All right, so Jane's going to apply for a job again. We'll give her a doctorate this time. Jane clicks apply. Hey, Jane thinks everything is cool. Got the message, got the applicant ID. The workflow went all the way through that first part, saved everything to both databases, committed a transaction. All of that was good. Then it went on, and you remember what happens after it goes on. It goes into screen applicant. So the first thing it would try to do is invoke this activity to automatically screen. That would pass. So education screening passed. That was fine. Request human screening. This is where things are going to blow up, right? Because I renamed our mailbox folder, so we should see an error. Now, let's go over here, go back to the AppFabric dashboard, and we notice right away, hey, we've got a suspended instance. The exception was an SMTP exception. That's a good hint. Let's see if we can get more info. So if we look here in errors, we see, failure sending mail. Okay, that helps a little bit. We're getting somewhat closer. But let's see if we can get more information. So if we looked at the tracked events, here we see if right here it says could not find part of the path, see mailbox, etc. Wow, that's very specific. And if I want even more, I can get the full exception, stack trace, whole thing from the error event right there. So now I think we've got enough information to troubleshoot this problem, right? So let's go back and fix the mailbox. Okay, so there it is, just mailbox. And then somebody call Jane, tell her to apply again. No, we don't have to do that because the workflow instance is still there. It's just suspended, which means that we can resume it once we fix the problem, right? So I right-click here and say resume. And what that does is it queues a command into the persistent store to resume this. And the persistent store runs through, and it will pick up this command. And the next time the workflow management service comes awake and says, would you please tell me if there's any workflows to run, it will resume this workflow. Now, the whole process could take up to a minute, but usually it happens much faster. In fact, we see that it's already sent the email. So if I refresh or go back to the AppFabric dashboard, rather, we'll see that now we have our system here showing two activations, right? We still have one failure, but now it says it's recovered, okay? So we resumed it. In fact, we see that we have an instance suspended now, but it's suspended just because it's waiting for something. So if I right-click here and view the tracked, view the tracked events, we see it's waiting for human screening. All right, so if we go in here, double-click this, and review, we say hire, then great, we see the other email, and the whole process is completed. So, now you see how we got a nice picture of everything that was going on from our workflow service, and we were able to think about this service as one kind of process, even though it might take days or weeks. The workflow keeps track of the whole process, can save state into other databases if you want, or just keep everything in the persistence database, and we get with AppFabric this great dashboard that sort of tells us everything that's going on so we can track how it all works together. That's pretty cool, and I think you'll find it very useful. For Endpoint TV, I'm your host, Ron Jacobs.